welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
God is good. Who was blessed yesterday? Come and make a joyful noise to the Lord and thank Him for that. Hallelujah. You are born of the Word and you are the Word of God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the Word of God. Hallelujah. Can you give a knuckle this evening? Say, hello, G. Hello, G. Hello, G. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, he that is born of God is just like God. Hallelujah. So, give another person a knuckle. Hello, G. Hello, G. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Before we go on and call up the speaker for today, I want us to just share the link for this this program this evening. There are two links. There's the YouTube link and the MixLR link. So you can just go ahead and just, if media people can help, just put the link. I don't know if you can copy the link from the screen. Put the link on the screen. Share it on your status. Share it on your, send it to some people. Send it directly to some people. Share on your status. Share on your profile. Hallelujah. And I believe that God will bless you. Hallelujah. Are you sharing the link? Please share the link. Share the link before we call up the speaker for today. I want you to be prepared. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart because God actually promised me. I was praying this morning and the Lord told me that this meeting, He's going to give people miracles, three kinds of miracles. The first miracle is the miracle of, how do I put it now? A revival miracle. Hallelujah. The first miracle is the miracle of a revival. In other words, you have been struggling with your prayer life. You've been struggling with your relationship with God. Something is going to get into you today that will make you just so eager to spend time with God. Hallelujah. It's called the revival miracle. The second miracle He said He wants to do in this place today is a breakthrough miracle. Breakthrough miracle in the sense of maybe you are struggling with something, especially financially. You are struggling with something. God is about to break you forth into a new level. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the third miracle is a miracle of restoration. Miracle of restoration. In other words, if there are things that the enemy has taken from you, in the next couple of weeks, I believe it's 3 weeks, God is going to restore it 100-fold. I'm saying all these things because I believe strongly that it's the Lord that put it in my heart. So you can have an expectation throughout this meeting and key in. Don't just be aloof. Believe it. Say, who has believed our report? Is to whom that the hand of the Lord will be revealed. It's the people that believes the report of Jesus that the hand of Jesus will be revealed to. Hallelujah. Do you believe? Hallelujah. Only one person believes. Do you believe that you see the hand of Jesus today? Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart that Jesus' hand will be available. You know, His right hand is powerful. The Bible says that the right hand of the Lord has done mighty things. Hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord has done mighty things. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The theme for this particular word seminar is releasing the power of God through the spoken word. In other words, let me just say this before I even call up the speaker. Everything in the kingdom of God is voice activated. Someone said something about voice activated. Everything in the kingdom of God is voice activated. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Everything in the kingdom of God. So it's like God works a system that let me put it this way. You know there are some places you enter into. If most shops in Enugu self have it, you just need to walk to the door and the door will open up to you. Hallelujah. System, in God's system, you just need to speak to the mountain so the mountain will give way for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the power of God is released through the spoken word. Hallelujah. So you need to learn how to speak your way to victory. And I believe that the words that you will speak today, the words that you will speak this year, you will see the results of it in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Say a bigger amen. Amen. The words that you will speak this year, the things that you will speak in faith, you will see the result of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So before wasting much time, I would love to call up my friend and someone that is an anointed teacher of God that will bless you tremendously. Yesterday he spoke to us and everyone that gave us that concept of that we are born of the Word, and definitely we are the Word. Hallelujah. That's a powerful thing. If you really start digging into the depths of it, you will live a different life this year. Hallelujah. Because you know, when I was worshiping God, yeah, the Lord put something in my head. Let me just say it before I call him up. The Lord put something in my head. You know, the Bible says that as the rain falls down from the heaven and does not return to the heavens without watering the earth and causing it to fruit and bud, so is the word of the Lord, the word of God, that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void until it accomplishes that which I sent it out for. And Jesus told me, you are the word of God. You will not return to me void without accomplishing the thing I put you on the earth for. Hallelujah. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You will not return. You don't know what's your destiny is secure. Say your destiny is secure. Hallelujah. You see, you will fulfill destiny. Say amen to that. God has a stake in your life. He will cause you to fulfill destiny. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Let me waste so much time because I have to support me this evening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please let us stand up on our feet and welcome Pastor Okemute Udu to bless us with the word. Hallelujah.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, let's be seated. Good evening once again. Good to be here, and I want to thank my brother and my friend, Pastor Murphy, for the privilege to bring God's word to us. I don't take this lightly at all. And well, let us pray. Father, we thank you again for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, for what you have gone ahead to do. We will just walk into that which you have prepared. And we ask, Lord, that by the power of your word this evening, do that in the life of the individuals seated here this evening. Glorify Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we have a sub-team this evening. Of course, we had one yesterday. And this evening, our sub-team is Living by the Word. Living by the Word. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, but I'll read from the Living Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read two verses, verses 16 and 17. If I have the Living Bible, that will be fine. But if I don't, I have it here on my tablet. Do I have it? The Living Bible. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Yesterday, what I said, let me just do a recapitulation briefly, Jesus, or the Word of God, said through the mouth of Peter, from 1 Peter chapter, I think that should be chapter 2, verse 23, that we are born of the Word. Praise the Lord. Now, what it simply means is that if you are born of the Word, then you are the Word. That is what it means. It means that you are the Word. And that revelation hits me, and I walk by that I am the Word. Now, of course, it's a process. The truth is this. Even your Christian faith, you might not really know the real scope of your faith. When Jesus comes in his glory, of course, we are like him, but ultimately we will be like him. You will know what you have come to believe. You might not know now. We are still scratching the surface. But when Jesus comes, ultimately we'll see the bigger picture of what we have come to believe. Sincerely, we don't know. We don't know. It's being revealed to us gradually. Now, okay, so let me read 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says it is quite true. Let me see. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is that the Living Bible? Okay. It is quite true that the way you live a godly life is not good. This is the Living Bible. It said the whole Bible was given to us by what? inspiration from God, and is useful. This is the whole, this is summary of the Bible. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. 17. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. So let's go back again. It says, number one, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God. And this is what the Bible will do. That Bible that you have is supposed to make, or is useful to teach you what is true, number one, and it's supposed to make you realize what is wrong, number two, and helps you do what is right. So you are taught, you are brought to a place that you understand, okay, this is pleasing to God and this is not. Now the Bible says in that 17, it says it is God's way. God has a way. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. Now, we said yesterday, please listen to this, that you are born of the word. Then, having established that, and that must settle in your heart, that I am born of the word, and as a result, I am the word of God. Now, today you must understand, now, you are born of the word, you live by that word. Do you understand? Now, you are born of that word. Your life is supposed to be patterned after that word. Your marriage is supposed to be patterned after that word. You know, we all gathered here. We are not here because we are from the same state. We are not here because, whether you like it or not, they are families. The Bible says it's solitary in families, right? There are different families. There's a family of... there's tribal family. Now, so people meet, there are people who meet every month because they come from the same tribe. Once somebody approached me and said, do I know that people from Delta State meet in Enugu? I said, I don't want to be part of you people. No, don't call me. They gave me the address. I said, don't, let's have peace here. So there are people who meet, you know, because they come from the same place. There are people who meet because they studied the same course. A number of us belong to professional associations. You belong to ASU, Nigeria Bar Association, right? Now, these are all families. Now, however, God still has his family. And the reason you are here is because you are part of God's family. And let me tell you the truth. If it is not Christ that brings people together, ultimately the people will scatter. If it is not Christ, anywhere in this world, if village association brought people together, you will fight because of money. I'm not joking. If it is not Christ that brings people together, ultimately that gathering will scatter. The only gathering that will last is a gathering that is why we are gathered here, not because we are from the same tribe, but because we belong to Christ. Now, if that is what brought us together, then what should sustain us should be what brought us together. But you discover that most times what brings people together, over time, they start deviating from such things, so there will be division. Then it scatters. Now, why did I go into that? That is just to establish the fact that we are born of this world, and the only way to live, listen, and live a successful life is still living by this word. You hear people say, and I've heard people say to me before, say, come, stop that, oh, I'm an Igbo man before I'm a Christian. I say, No, you don't say such things. See, there are things you say, you gradually take yourself out of the blessings of God. You are not an Igbo man before you are a Christian. You are a Christian first. Have you heard people say, this is business, let's keep God aside? No, it's not business. You are a Christian whether you are a businessman. You are a Christian whether you are a Yoruba man. Do you understand? When you say, because when you say things like that, what you are saying is that the traditions of my village, they are still operating, I'm still operating by that standard. I I've been married for, I know a number of you have been married for a longer, so I'm not, my elders here. I've been married for 12 years now. But in my village, they believe I'm not married. And the simple reason is because they said my wife is supposed to come home and sweep. That she will sweep, she will sleep for 3 days and she will sweep the compound. Then that's induction into the family. I said, can we pay money? They said, no. I said, then leave it. No, leave it. He said, okay, let me tell you. They said, when she dies, you can't bring. I said, see, you don't understand something. You don't. She's not dying now. Do you understand? Uh-huh. But even if that happens, don't worry. Yeah, have you heard of illustrious son? These are illustrious son. It's money. Igwe will see our illustrious son have come. How this one that tell you to come and sweep to your wife to come and sweep a compound for 3 days? I say I won't. If you live by the traditions, listen, if you live by those traditions, you pay the price. That's the truth. Praise God. So we are born of the word. And let me tell you something. If you practice Christianity the way Christianity ought to be practiced, if you don't have an enemy, that's why, you know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, those who desire to live godly lives, just the fact that you desire to live a godly life, you face persecution. He said, till tomorrow, under God. A lot of Christians are not living for God. Because if they do, you will see the persecution. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. First, you have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Read verses after. He said, that's Matthew chapter 5. He now talks of they will be persecuted for what sake? Righteousness sake. How much have you lost because of godliness? What relationship have you let go because of godliness? I was talking with a woman who called from Ghana. And she gave me, because she just wanted to know the boundary between submitting to her husband and obeying God. Because the husband said to her, there are certain things, okay, the husband now attends a church that they do all these bait with water, bait with perfume. And she said her faith doesn't carry that. And the husband said she was not being submissive. So that was why she called. He said, where do I draw the boundary? Because now it's like we're not going to witchcraft. There are things she said I can't go into. I said, you have to stand for your faith. Now, standing for her faith was going to cost her something. To make matters worse, she so stood her ground that she was not going to bait with those things. She was not going to pray with red candles and all that. And the husband said, she's a witch. And that was what they told her, they told him, and she must pray. She said, no. To make matters worse, their 6-month-old child now died. See, you don't know persecution. See, righteousness attracts persecution. It's a magnet to persecution. So I said, I don't want to call. I said, we'll stand at our ground. We believe this scripture. I don't know if you understand. And we will believe it to the end, even if it will cost us. Because when we talk of, you know, releasing the power of God through the spoken word, go and study the life of men who spoke these words and there was power. They lived by the word first. I don't know if you understand. See, because I discovered something that we just want to take principles from the Bible. We want to use those principles to gratify our flesh. So we have a vision. So we bring principles from the Bible. I want to speak things to bring forth that vision. I read the principle of persistence. And I saw that what Jesus was just trying to pass across to people is persist until you are filled with the Spirit of God. Nothing else. Because that's what he said. That woman, I think that should be Luke chapter, is it 13? 18. Thank you. See, that woman came. Now, in fact, he gave a parable. He said, if your children ask for bread, won't you give them bread? Will you give them a stone? Please read that story down. He said, how much more when you ask for the Holy Spirit? So all those things he was saying were just building up to you having the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you understand. So when you see the principle of persistence, it's just, so let me know how much you are hungry for the Spirit, then you'll be filled with the Spirit. So he said to them, you will tarry until you are filled. He didn't tell them how long. So they went and they stayed until the Holy Spirit came. When we talk of living by the word, we are saying whatever the word will cost us. I've heard people say to me before, trusting God for the fruit of the womb and their mother, without the knowledge of their husband, taking them from one place to the other, drinking all kinds of things. One woman said to me, he said, Pastor, it's like this word is not working. I said, then try something else. No, all this one that they are petting. See, if it's not working, because sometimes we forget that this, it is faith and patience. Do you understand? So when you try it for 5 years and it's not working, you say it's not working. But we quickly forget that Abraham waited for 25 years. It is faith and patience. So she was there. I was talking with her husband. Business has been bad and all that. I still remember when they had an issue. The husband worked in a multinational and they paid him off. Okay. So, you know that time they had the less partner. You know less partner? The guy put in 5 million. The 5 million went. They now brought MMM. He didn't tell me how much he put in MMM, but it's more than 5 million. So, you know what the Bible, that's in Proverbs chapter 19. It says, men live their lives. Can you give me that scripture? I think that should be 19:1. That should be Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1, if I'm not mistaken. Quickly. If I get it from the New Living Translation, I will appreciate it. All right. It says, people ruin their lives by their own what? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. And then are angry at the Lord. As if it's the Lord that ruined it. You take your money. You put it in MMM. When the scripture is clear, that abstain from quick gain. Because the spirit behind it is what? Quick gain. And you see, they so put their money in this. When the man told, I don't want to, I said to him, now, go to the next verse. No. Continue. No, that's not it. There's a scripture on my mind. There's a scripture on my mind. I'll get it. The Holy Spirit will remind me. So, so we are praying. God gave me a strong gift in counseling. Oh, and I've been enjoying it. And I said to them, I said, you will suffer for a while, then God will bring restoration. I said, let's not pray. It will be wickedness to pray that what the locust ate and the cankerworm ate, the Lord should give in 1 week. It doesn't work like that. So the next time, when God gives you resources, because you think your money is your own, I don't know if you understand, you will sit down of counsel from the Lord. What do you want me to use this money to do? Because they were soft. It got so bad. I don't want to tell you how they were feeding. So, years after, the woman said that they are tired. I said, and mommy, don't be tired, though. He said it's not working. Now, that was where I got angry. I said, if it's not working, you can try something else. She said, no, they won't try. I said, then let's stick to what we know. I don't know if you understand. What do we know? It's prayer and the word. Let's keep asking God for mercy. We're talking of living by the word. You must pattern your life, your marriage, in line with the word of God. If God says the way you are going to have a successful marriage as a woman is submission to your husband, then you will go to God and say, I believe your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Now what submission means, God will teach you personally. Because if you read that scripture, he didn't tell you why you should submit. He just said, why submit? It is we that now preach when you submit, then this will not happen. God did not, go and read it very well. He just said, submit. Do you understand? So if God says to me, husband, love your wife, I will go to God and I will say, be it unto me according to your word. You know, Mary asks, this whole thing you have told me, how is it going to be? First, she did not doubt the word of the angel. I don't know if you understand. She just said, but how is it going to be? When you come to that point, then the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit, remember the Spirit and the word, they always work together. I don't know if you understand. But first, you have to believe the word, then the Holy Spirit will help you bring it to pass. See, your whole life as a Christian now is belief, nothing else. You might not have the full explanation to what the word says, but once you read it, just say, I believe it. Holy Spirit help. Once you believe it, in fact, the Holy Spirit goes into action. The Bible says there was darkness and the Spirit of God moved, right? Then the word spoke. And we saw the manifestation. When we say living by the word of God, it has to do with every area of my life. So when you say things like, in our tradition, this is how they do it, I think you need to check that statement again. Praise God. Because you are not supposed to do it according to your tradition again. You are not supposed to do it according to the word of God. Praise God. In this family, they discipline people. Huh? They do. Because the word is trying to teach us that you don't discipline people. They do. It's part of the word of God. I don't know if you understand. And if they discipline you and you leave church, then I think you should check whether you're a Christian. Of course, we have to protect you. But of course, they discipline people. And you must make that sink. Because there's a narrative going on now. And the church, they don't help their own. That is not true. That is a lie. The church help their own. They do. Somebody died the other day and they said the church killed him. I said the church did not kill him. He died. No, the church did not kill him. These were people who were singing in beer parlors before. God picked them up. I know, I have a clue. In fact, there was a guest that were supposed to join the good of the land. 2 years ago, they told me 450,000 to bring them. I said, send of me to give you 450,000. Let me share it among the people working with me. Now, as they sang in at the experience. Yesterday, I was discussing with somebody. They were begging there for 4.5 million. They said no. That's what the church does. They pick you from nothing. They start paying you 5 million. Then when the person dies, they say the church did not treat him well. That's not true. You think if you were singing in club, you would have gotten that? Nobody would have known you. So when they say the church did not, I say which church killed him? The church picked him from a beer parlor. The church picked him from when he was playing in club and gave him a life. I don't know if you understand. Gave him a ministry. We're talking of living by the word. And when we talk of living by the word, first the word will bring the word on its own. When you say you want to obey the word, it brings persecution. Praise God. And of course, if you read the parable of the sower, you will see that what I just said there. I'm not telling you what is not in scripture. If you read the parable of the sower, you see it. And those that did not have debt, the ones that did not have debt, when persecution came, what happened? They dried up because there was no debt. The word attracts persecution. It does. So we live by the word of God. You are born by the word. You must live by that word. You must live by that word. In fact, there's a scripture that caught my attention. 2 Kings chapter 3. Can I get that? 2 Kings chapter 3. Give me from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 3. Everything about your life must be patterned by the word of God. You must ask yourself, the way I do my business, is it by... I have a friend who runs a pharmacy. He has a pharmacy shop. And every time he goes around to check for drugs that are expired and throws them away. And I said, He told me that people make money from such things, that they can change the expiry date. He said, but his conscience would not permit him as a Christian to do that. I don't know if you understand. You know when the Bible says, God hates people that sheds innocent blood. If you do such things and people die because they bought a drug from you, you have shed innocent blood. So then Jehoshaphat asked, what route will we take? We will attack from the wilderness of Edom. Joram replied, continue. The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or their animals. What should we do? So there was a problem already. Now, what should we do? The king of Israel cried out, the Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him. Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. Give me King James, the version that Paul used. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is what? Let's say it together. The word of the Lord is with him. Let me pray a prayer for you. In the space that the Lord has placed you, when people are in trouble, they will say, let us go to him, for the word of the Lord is with him. Yeah. Now, that word is scarce. You would think it's not scripture. Do you understand? The word of the Lord in this context is, we have a problem at hand. No, you see, Jehoshaphat so respected hearing what the Lord would say. You remember there was a time he was also to go to battle with King Ahab. You remember that story? That was when God was going to destroy Ahab. And they were to go, and all the prophets prophesied. And Jehoshaphat said, is there no other prophet that will give us the word of God? He said, there's one, and his name is Micaiah. He said, call him. And that man came and gave, that prophet came and gave them the word of. Now, let me pray another prayer for you. People will give advice. Listen, but there will still be no settlements in their hearts. They will not be settled. They will ask, there must be one person who will bring the word of God. May you be that person. Yeah. Joseph, I just knew that. You see all these 400 government house prophets? They were not telling the truth. No, they were telling they told the king what he was going to hear. Oh, king, go, you will succeed. King, go, you will succeed. But there was something in the heart of Jehoshaphat. They said, no. The voice of this crowd is not the voice. You know, another thing that people say, the voice of the people is Nalayo. Oh, God. In fact, that's to tell you that God is not even there. The voice of the people. Woo! See, once you hear the people saying this, just know that God is not there. No, God is not there. If God is there, then all your arrangements would have been. No, God is not there. When the people are saying, well, is this business now? No, God is not there. It's a matter of time, it's going to crash. When everybody's saying, is this person now? The person might get there and it disappoints everybody. I'm not calling him. But I've heard it over time. And somebody said, the Bible says, the voice of the people is the voice of God. Check, 20 people cried. When he gave them Saul, they never recovered. The voice of the people. Because they were the one who cried, the voice of the people. So Jehoshaphat said, no. The word of the Lord must be lacking here. So they brought Micaiah. And I've prayed that prayer. You know, that when a church, you know, churches will sit. And they will say, you know, I have a friend who is one of the pastors. He was one of the pastors of a big church. And they had this program, just the way you're doing now. They had this program. And They were to talk on money, business, whatever. So they got to a point where they want to talk on faithfulness and trust. They were now looking for the pastor that fits that. I like to fit into that. I don't know if you understand. When you want to talk of money, I'm not saying it's bad though. But when you want to talk of trust, when you want to talk of righteousness, at least mention my name in that one. It's not the one they say, who will help us raise money? You now call my name. sorry, you. You want to talk of righteousness, they didn't mention my name. They want to talk of holiness, they didn't mention my name. They want to talk of the second coming of Christ, they didn't mention my name. It's when you want to raise money, you mention my name. It's a pointer to the fact of what you have been doing over time. So they were looking for who to talk on faithfulness and trust. Everybody echoed the name of that brother. Everybody in the committee, they echoed the name of that brother. And it was one who took that topic. Now, they have looked at his life. I don't know if you understand. They have looked at his life and they say, it's only this one that fits. They say among the thieves, when they finish stealing, they give it to one thief that they trust among them. They all stole, do you understand? But they say, this one, your mother brought you up well. Now, condition to make you the followers. So hold it for us. Because if you give this guy, the other thief, so this guy will run with the money. Praise the Lord. Elisha said, Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. That is so powerful. The word of the Lord is with him. The word of the Lord is with him. And they went to Elisha. And according to what, you know, Elisha actually gave them the solution to that. And I've been praying that prayer, Lord, in a time like this, give me your word. Praise God. No, give me your word. It simply means, give me the solution to the problems of men. Now let's continue. I have very few minutes, I'll round up shortly. So we live and we grow by that word. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. Quickly. Acts 20 verse 32. Every word, as you read, listen, your growth as a Christian is your personal responsibility. No, your growth as a Christian is your personal responsibility. And if you believe how many of us believe the words of course, he said to them, he said, I led you through the wilderness just to teach you one thing, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how men live. He says, and now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace. Please give me King James. And now, brethren. When you hear some things, brethren, doesn't it sound spiritual? Eh? Brethren. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, this is like a farewell speech. I don't know if you understand. Now, somebody wants to leave and he says, okay, let me tell you what is in my heart. This is what is in my heart. In fact, a lawyer told me that if a man wants to die, the last words of that man is held tightly. So on his deathbed, if he says, okay, I have four sons, this is how you should, you know, apportion my inheritance, their inheritance to them. He said, if you take that to court, the judge will uphold that. Now, so this is like a farewell speech. Brethren, I've been with you all this while. Now, this is what I have to give to you. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, this is what it will do. First, it will what? It's able. It has ability. Remember we said yesterday that once the word is there, just leave the word there, it will displace the gun. I don't know if you understand. Your responsibility is to make sure you keep taking it in. That's your responsibility. And the devil will always fight. Listen, the devil is older than human beings. Eh? You know, sometimes you just think the devil is stupid. I hope you are not thinking like that. There's only one person that knows the orukuruku, the tricks of the devil, and that is Jesus. He knows how to handle him. I don't know if you cannot, you think you can handle the devil? No, you can't. You need Christ in you to help you handle him. No, you do. The devil is crafty. The devil is crafty. Anywhere God's people are, anywhere God sows, the devil will come there and sow. In fact, we're having a discussion. Please, I want to say something. Don't run with it, too. Maybe I should not even say it. But don't run with it. Do you understand? It's just a discussion I was having with my brother. We are suspecting that that tree, you know that tree in the garden? Eh? You know, there's a, what do you call it in, is it a disclaimer? Or caveat? It's a disclaimer. Don't run with this thing. We're suspecting that that tree in the garden, that God did not plant it. The tree of good and evil. I didn't say, the way you're shaking your head, not going to use that tape pre-show because if you don't have the kind of explanation I want to give, they'll just say, who is this one speaking, you understand? No, we're just suspecting that. Why would God plant a garden? Now, what did he want to achieve by putting that tree there in the first place? When I want to leave my house, and I have little children, my first son is here. Anything that looks like danger, you try to take it out. Am I correct? I don't know if you understand. Now, so why will God leave that tree there? Now, because you use scripture to balance scripture. As you begin to read, you will see that anywhere God plants, the devil plants. It says in the book of Jude that someone has crept into the church. Now, what are they doing? They are teaching the people of God. Because when the devil wants to take you out of God, he brings another doctrine. I don't even understand. He said they are teaching the people of God that the grace of God permits them to live immoral lives. So once you see God's people, once you see God doing something, the devil plants there. In Revelation, you will see the synagogue of Satan. God has his own synagogue, I hope you know. There's what they call the deep things of God. You also know that what Jezebel was teaching was what? They were deep things. Go and read it in Revelation. It says, so I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Number one, that is what the word will do. The word will build you. You can't build yourself. All you need to do is sit with it. Right? Oh, that's all you need to do. I watched the advert of one milk years ago. I don't want to call the brand now. But, you know, it was like this. They were carrying weight, you know. Just carrying weight. So the champion could not lift a particular, I don't know, maybe it was like 250 or 300 kilograms. Now, if you've watched that sport very well, you understand that once a contestant tries, they will come and they will mop that place, lest the person slips, right? I don't know if you understand. Good. So the guy, the cleaner, you know, if you watch football match, they are ball pickers. And now in weightlifting, they are cleaners. They just come. Once you try, the next person come, before he comes, he will just mop that place to make sure. So the guy who was mopping that place, what a champion could not carry, unconsciously, he just lifted it up, you know. Now let's assume this is a mop. Now, so he just and cleaned and dropped. So he discovered that everybody, they were clapping. So, now, he didn't know what he did because he did that. Now, what a champion was. Have you seen those people who lift? Uh-huh. Now, imagine, I really don't know that sport very well, so I don't know who holds the record now. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So, a cleaner just comes, is not a contestant, he lifts it. So everybody clapped. So at the end of the day, they were asking him, how did you do that? So that was where they brought in the milk. That if you take this milk regularly, if you take this milk regularly, you will do things that champions can do. I don't know if you understand. And listen, let me tell you the truth. You cannot be a Christian and not desire God's word. You cannot. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God. A proof that you're a Christian is that you have this strong desire of God's word. That's a proof that you're a Christian. Just desire it. Just desire it. What is your desire for God's word? If you desire miracles more than you desire God's word, you will fail. The Bible said why Jesus was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. It was those who paid attention that got the healing. I don't know if you understand. If you desire prophecy more than you desire the word of God, it will not do you any good. This was what he commended them to. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, number one, and it will give you an inheritance. The word, you are born by the word, you are built by the word, and the word gives you an inheritance. It is the word that will present you to God. Because when you say an inheritance, it's not giving you land. What's inheritance that is in Christ? Eh? Me, I don't know. You can tell me later. Because what I know, I hope you know God has given you his best. Eh? He has given you his best. And his best is what? It's Christ. So what is he going to give you again that is less than Christ? I don't know if you get it. So when we get to heaven, we'll know the inheritance. But I know it's not anything less than Christ. Everything you are doing in Christianity is Christ. So because when you see an inheritance, you think, oh, when God comes, he's going to give us a land in Jerry. Now, whatever that inheritance, I don't know, sincerely. But I like I said, so be it unto me according to thy word. The inheritance that you have prepared for me, I shall have it. Do you understand? Just my son now, asking me what is inheritance. Me, I don't know. I don't know. We are still living the life. Do you get it now? If I die now, which I'm not planning to die. No, I'm not planning to. Because when you're of death, you are afraid of death. If I die now, his inheritance might be this Honda and the house. That might. But we are still living. As we live, God multiplies us. When we live, maybe one day his inheritance might be, I don't know what would be the value of the naira there. But it might be 100 billion. Do you understand? Now, what's the inheritance in Christ? Me, I don't know. But I know that if I'm giving to the word of God that I was commended to, it will, number one, build me up, and it will give me an inheritance. Listen, like I said, let me round up with this. We don't know the full scope of our Christianity. Let's just be living the life. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's just be living the life. When we see him, whatever he wants to give to us, but one thing I'm sure of is I will not regret this journey. No, there's no, why should you regret it? Let me summarize what I've been saying since yesterday. You are born by the word. Therefore, you are the word of God. Praise the Lord. You are built by the word. You are built by the word. Don't let any, see, somebody said, and they said, I have a foundational problem. If you're in Christ, you don't have any foundational problem. No, you don't, there's nothing wrong with your foundation. You can have financial problem. But as for that foundation, don't touch it. Because the Bible says your foundation is what? It's Christ. How can Christ have the foundation? That foundation cannot be faulty. You can say, okay, you are building wrongly and you can correct it. But that foundation, nothing can touch it. Now, it's in studying the word of God that you come to this sense. So when somebody says you have a foundational problem, you say, no, my foundation is Christ. Or somebody who suffered severely from condemnation. You know condemnation. You know what they call, you know condemnation. The Bible says when we come to God, how do we come to God? According to Hebrews, we come how? Boldly. Thank you, Pastor. You come boldly. How do you come? How do you come? Good. A number of us here, you might have somebody who help you in the house. I don't know how your children behave, but when they want to enter my room, they enter the room as if it's their own. I don't know if you understand. I have to teach them, come, you have to learn how to knock. Do you understand? And they are still trying to come to terms to that knocking. They don't understand why they should knock. Do you understand? They come boldly. Do you understand? My housekeeper cannot try that too. When the milk finishes in the house, they will tell my son to come and tell me. She's not bold enough to tell me, say, milk don't finish. She does not have that boldness. When the cable TV expires, she wants to watch African Magic. They go through my son. I don't know if you understand. That's the one that have access to the father. Do you understand? There are things they, even my first son, there are things he needs. He goes through my daughter. Because I have soft spot for that one. You can quarrel with yourself. Do you understand? Because you just go say, in your language, and tell daddy that you want to watch cartoon. But I know who wants to watch the cartoon. But they are supposed to be reading. But this is what I'm saying. What the devil destroys is that boldness to approach. Because if you are not coming boldly, first, you are not even coming with faith. Your boldness is a sign of faith. I don't know if you understand. So when I got born again, of course, with my background and all that, I suffered greatly from condemnation. The scripture dawned on me. There is therefore no condemnation. I don't know if you understand. There was before, in my ignorance. But now, there is therefore no condemnation. Irrespective of my present state, there is therefore no condemnation. Therefore, I come boldly to the throne of grace. And the first thing I do as a son is I obtain mercy. I like that word Pastor Murphy gave earlier. I believe boldness will be restored to people today. You know, it talks of restoration. And I just believe God will do that this evening. Amen. Let's say it once again. I am born by the word. I live by the word. My inheritance is in the word. Say it once again. I am born by the word. I live by the word. And I have an inheritance in the word. Can you just walk with that consciousness? I live by the word. Listen, everything I do is by the word. If I'm living now and it's not in accordance to the word, when correction comes through the word, I receive correction. Do you understand? I receive correction. Jesus lived by the word. Jesus, who was the Son of God, why will he say to Satan, it is written? Have you ever thought of it? Why will Jesus say to Satan, it is written? Then finally, he says, if we say we belong to him, then let us live as he lived. Give me that scripture. Let's rise to our feet. We'll pray from the 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. He that saith he abideth in him, and ought himself also to walk even. Now, I like that your first translation. King James is taking us to where we don't know now. This ought. this one sounds good, right? All right, so let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus lived. Let's say it once again. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus. So if you claim, if you say you are in Christ, how should you live your life? Was Jesus worried? No, was Jesus worried? Was Jesus timid? Was sin able to overcome Jesus? So say to him this evening, I receive grace to live as Jesus lived. Oh, pray that prayer this evening. I receive grace to live as Jesus lived. That's a victorious life. I receive grace to live as Jesus lived. His grace is not by your strength. It's not by your strength. I receive grace. I receive grace to pastor as he pastored. Yes, Jesus had grace for pastoring. Jesus had the grace of a shepherd. I receive grace to live as he lived. Oh, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. It's grace you are receiving this evening. I receive grace to live as Jesus lived. I do. I receive grace to live as Jesus lived. Oh, pray. Let me give you 30 seconds to pray that prayer. Lord, give me grace to live as Jesus lived. In my business, at the time, Jesus was a businessman. He was a carpenter. Let me do business like Jesus did. Let me speak and let it come to pass as he did. Oh, grace to overcome. Because I belong to him, it's not a claim. I want to live as he lived. I am your own. I am your own. Till the day you return, Jesus, I am your own. Let's sing it. I am your own. I am your own.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruit for us.